This is the first of four modules on overseas aspects of income tax. In these modules, you will come across the terms residence, ordinary residence, and domicile. An individual's residence and domicile status will determine his liability to UK taxation. In this session, we will look at the concept of residence. We will move on to ordinary residence and domicile in a later module. As a general principle, if an individual is resident in the UK and domiciled in the UK, as will be the case for the vast majority of UK nationals, that individual will be liable to income tax on his worldwide income. The rules are different if an individual is not resident in the UK or he is not domiciled in the UK, particularly with regard to his overseas income. We will look at the taxation of overseas income in a later module. The terms residence, ordinary residence, and domicile are not defined in tax legislation. Domicile is a concept of general law. HMRC have issued a booklet, booklet HMRC 6, which gives guidance on how an individual's residence and domicile status is determined and how his UK and foreign income is taxed. The booklet replaces the previous HMRC guidance booklet IR 20. A number of cases relating to residence and domicile have shown that an individual's residence and domicile position must be determined in accordance with the common law rather than non-statutory guidance. HMRC 6 is therefore guidance only and does not have legal force. It simply contains HMRC's view and interpretation of legislation and case law. However, HMRC 6 is still an extremely useful booklet as it sets out the main factors which HMRC takes into account when determining an individual's residence and domicile status. It is used on a day-to-day basis by tax advisers working in the area of expatriate taxation. For those of you who have access to the Tolly's Tax Statutes booklet, HMRC 6 is reproduced in your handbooks. In this session, we will confine ourselves to a discussion of the term residence. An individual's residence status is determined by reference to a tax year. So, for example, an individual will either be resident for the tax year or he will not. There are special rules which enable us to split a tax year into resident and non-resident periods, but these only apply in very specific circumstances. We shall look at these later. An individual will always be resident in the UK if he is physically present in the UK for 183 days or more. There are no exceptions to this rule, so the first thing to look at in determining a person's resident status is whether he has been in the UK for more than 6 months of the tax year. If the answer to this question is yes, the individual will be UK resident for that particular tax year. Up until the 5th of April 2008, days of arrival and departure were usually ignored for the purposes of counting the number of days of presence in the UK. From the 6th of April 2008, however, an individual is treated as being present in the UK if he is physically in the UK at the end of the day, i.e. at midnight. There are exceptions for transit days. This ensures that visitors who are passing through the UK in order to reach a different destination, e.g. via a port or airport, are not treated as being resident for a day in the UK just because they happen to be in the UK at midnight. Most of the time, short absences from the UK will not affect an individual's resident status. This means that if an individual goes on holiday or spends a short period of time working abroad, he is very likely to remain resident in the UK for that particular year. It is possible for an individual to be resident in the UK even if he spends less than 183 days here in a particular tax year. It is also necessary to consider the pattern of the individual's lifestyle. There are other factors which could make an individual resident in the UK, such as the location of their family, property, business and social connections. We will now have a look at what happens when taxpayers either come to the UK or leave the UK. We shall start with taxpayers leaving the UK. If an individual who has been resident and ordinarily resident in the UK leaves the UK to go abroad, he does not automatically become not resident. His residence position will be determined by a number of factors, including the reason he left the UK, visits made to the UK after he left, and connections with the UK, including family, property, business and social connections. The individual will need to show a distinct change in his pattern of life in order to become non-resident. If an individual leaves the UK permanently or indefinitely and has demonstrated a distinct break in his pattern of life, he will become not resident in the UK from the day after the date of departure. This is one instance when we are allowed to split the tax year into resident and non-resident periods. By permanently, we mean that the individual is leaving the UK to live abroad and will not return to the UK. By indefinitely, we mean that the individual is intending to stay away from the UK for a period of 3 years or more. HMRC may require evidence that the taxpayer has left the UK for a period of 3 years or more. Such evidence may include the acquisition of a property abroad or the permanent disposal of a property in the UK. Taxpayers leaving the UK will be required to complete a departing residence questionnaire, or Form P85. Assuming an individual has left the UK permanently or indefinitely and become non-resident, he will remain non-resident while he is abroad, provided his visits to the UK do not exceed certain limits. First, any return visits to the UK must not exceed 182 days in any tax year. Remember that if an individual is physically present in the UK for more than 6 months of the tax year, he will be regarded as resident for that tax year. The individual must also ensure that return visits to the UK average less than 91 days per tax year. The calculation looks at the visits in the most recent 4 years since the individual left the UK. For the purpose of this 91-day test, return visits to the UK for exceptional circumstances, for example an illness which prevents the individual from travelling, can be ignored. The way in which the 91-day test is applied is clearly laid out in the booklet HMRC 6, and an example of how it works is given on the next page. Let us take a taxpayer called Charles, who left the UK on the 30th of June 2005 to settle with his girlfriend in Dubai. Charles intends to be in Dubai for at least 4 years. As such, we can assume that Charles is not resident from the day after the date of departure, i.e. from the 1st of July 2005. On the screen in front of you, you will see a schedule of Charles's return visits to the UK between July 2005 and April 2010. Charles returned to the UK and resumed residence on the 31st of May 2010. What we're going to do here is to consider the application of the 91-day rule and see if Charles has actually become resident in any of the intervening tax years. Charles is treated as not resident in the UK from the day after the date of his departure. A review of his visits must be made at the end of each tax year after the year of departure to see whether the 91-day rule applies. The booklet HMRC 6 tells us how to apply the 91-day test. We take the total visits to the UK in the period from the date of departure to the 5th of April. We then divide by the total days since leaving the UK. We then multiply by 365 to give us the average visits to the UK per tax year. If this formula gives us a figure in excess of 90 days, the individual will be treated as being resident in the UK since the date of departure. The effect of this will be to treat all income arising in the period as taxable in the UK. If, however, the formula gives us a figure below 91 days, the taxpayer will remain non-resident throughout the period, and any income earned will not be charged to tax in the UK. Let us now apply the 91-day test. Charles left the UK in the tax year 2005-06, We therefore first apply the test as at the 5th of April 2007. The number of days between the date of departure and the 5th of April 2007 is 644. The total visits to the UK in this period are 132. We duly divide this by 644 and multiply by 365 to give us the average visits in the year. This comes out to be 75 days, so the test fails. We will test again as at the 5th of April 2008. The number of days between the date of departure and the 5th of April 2008 are 1,009 days. Again, we take the total visits to the UK since departure and divide by 1,009. We multiply this figure by 365 to give us the average visits per year in the period. This comes out to be 84 days, so again the test fails. We will test again as at the 5th of April 2009. The number of days between the date of departure and the 5th of April 2009 is 1,375. Once again, we take the total visits to the UK since the date of departure. This comes out to be 340. We divide this by 1,375 and multiply by 365 to give us the average visits per year in the period. This comes out to be 90 days. So, once again, the test fails. The final test will be as at the 5th of April 2010. However, note that the maximum period of time over which the 91-day rule can be tested is 4 years. So here we take the number of days in the 4 years up to the 5th of April 2010, and this comes out to be 1,461. Similarly, we look at the total visits to the UK in the same period, i.e. between the 6th of April 2006 and the 5th of April 2010. This comes out to be 322 days. We take the 322 days, divide by 1,461, and multiply by 365. This tells us that the average visits to the UK in the 4-year period are 80 days. Again, this is below the 90-day limit. Charles returns to the UK in May 2010. HMRC have checked his visits as at the end of the tax years 2006-07 through to 2009-10. At each point, Charles's visits to the UK have not exceeded 90 days on average. This will mean that throughout the period in which Charles was in Dubai, he will be regarded as not resident in the UK. And this means that any overseas income arising in this period will not be charged to UK tax. Apart from being quite a fiddly rule to apply, this computation does rely on the individual keeping accurate records of any return visits to the UK. Tax advisers should therefore recommend that their clients keep a diary detailing the dates of any journeys to and from the UK in this period, along with any airline tickets, etc., as proof of their return visits. Having dealt with individuals leaving the UK, let us now turn our attention to taxpayers coming to the UK. Taxpayers coming to the UK to live permanently, or for 3 years or more, will be treated as resident in the UK from the day of arrival. There are different rules for individuals who are not coming to the UK permanently or for 3 years or more. These visitors may be long-term visitors or short-term visitors. Let us deal with long-term visitors first. Long-term visitors are those who have come to the UK indefinitely or for an extended period which might cover several tax years. Long-term visitors are treated as UK resident from the date of arrival if they intend to stay in the UK for at least 2 years. If the reason for their visit to the UK is to take up a contract of employment for more than 2 years, the individual will be regarded as a long-term visitor and, as such, will be resident in the UK from the date of arrival. If an individual coming to the UK is not intending to remain in the UK for at least 2 years, he will nevertheless be regarded as resident in a tax year if he spends more than 182 days in the UK in that tax year. Here, we simply apply our normal 6-month rule.